Coffee mug here? Come on.
Yeah, should have brought it.
We're on. Good evening. It's August 4th, 2021. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the 100 in Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the 100 in County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence to honor our first responders and our servicemen and women.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First up, presentation of minutes from the July 21st, 2021 regular minutes. Regular meeting. Any comments, discussion, or motion to approve the minutes?
Make a motion to approve the minutes, July 21st, 2021.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then we would open to public comment, limited to agenda items only, reminding everyone this meeting is recorded and posted on the website promptly. Is there a motion to open to public comment, limited to agenda items only?
Make a motion to open the public comment.
Agenda items only.
Yes.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment on the agenda items.
I think I wasn't any later.
Please state your name, the road you live on.
Daryl Schmidt, 226 Musconic on River Road. And good evening. I'd like to comment on the sign ordinance. I'd like to comment it on a member of the planning board as well as the resident of Lebanon Township. As the planning board member, this ordinance came to us, finished your draft, with no explanations. You have two liaisons, two of your board members are liaisons to the planning board. They could convey nothing to us as to what prompted this ordinance, how it was written, who wrote it, or anything else, which I find troubling. We knew nothing of it. I think the planning board should have some input, but this looks like it's already finished and done with no input whatsoever. That being said, that's Daryl Schmidt, the planning board member. Daryl Schmidt, the resident, also of 226 Musconic on River Road. I don't think this ordinance is necessary. I'm assuming I have it here. I'm assuming the X'd out, lined out part is the old ordinance that says you've got 4 weeks, I think, before the election and 48 hours to take these signs down. I think that's fine. This whole thing here is quite lengthy with lots of do's and don'ts. And from what I've seen in the past, we spend money on professionals for ordinances and they are not enforced, or they are selectively enforced. And that it don't pertain to everybody. It pertains to somebody that complains, and that gets acted on. You got a lighting ordinance on the heels of this. I also have issues about how that came about to the planning board. Also, if that goes through as drafted, it's going to be selectively enforced. It's not going to be across the board enforced. Like I said, I don't know what prompted this election sign thing, but if all these things, all these ordinances are going to be enforced, you're not going to need a zoning officer, you're going to need a zoning department. And some of this stuff, you couldn't pay me enough to knock on people's doors to tell them to take down their Trump sign or turn off their lights at night. I don't care if you're afraid of the dark or not. And these ordinances cost money, they don't come for free. Like I said, I've seen a lot of ordinances we've done over the years that go unenforced. And quite frankly, it's a problem. I have a an ordinance. You guys want to do an ordinance? I have one in the back of my head that may or may not have prompted this election sign ordinance. During our last election, I didn't like it. I didn't like how it came about. I think it cost taxpayers money. I have a rule. If for whatever reason you're elected to Lebanon Township public office, you can't finish your term, you have to step down for whatever reason, be it health, business, whatever, personal, you have to skip the next election cycle. That gamesmanship I seen by a candidate, it turned me off and turned off other people that I talked to. That was like nothing, that's a loophole to me that needs to be closed. You have to step down, next cycle, you can't run for public office, Lebanon Township anyway. That may have prompted this election sign ordinance not to exist in the first place. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We have the election sign ordinance on the agenda coming up, so I think we'll take your comments into consideration when we get there. Any other comments from the public related to the agenda items? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So on to the resolutions. First resolution, 70-2021, authorizing the signing of a grant for the Department of Transportation, DEP grant, non-road equipment. This is a grant toward our loader that we're applying for in the amount of $55,026, and this authorizes the mayor to sign the grant application, basically. Anything else, Jamie, you want to add to this?
That's really it. I mean, everything's down there, signature. I'm waiting for a verification. They received everything. There was one more document that had to be signed, which I signed.
Actually, I misstated. I said the mayor, authorized the mayor. It authorizes you, the administrator.
Yeah, authorizes me to sign it. Sorry. Yep. So I'm just waiting to hear back, and hopefully it comes quicker. I think it will. I mean, I'm having a pretty good dialogue with the DEP representative down at the state.
Just for the public's information, this is under what they generically call a Stop the Soot grant, mobile emissions grant. We got one a couple of years ago, and the main conditions are that we follow the laws related to idle time and things like that. There were no other onerous conditions, except if you consider the fact that we have to destroy the existing machine.
Yeah,
we can't trade it in for money, so it destroys the existing machine.
And then you got to show proof you destroyed it.
Yeah.
But we did it. Equipment.
Well, they sure do. They drill a hole in a crankcase or something. That's what they did the last time.
We did it before and it worked out fine.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So any discussion from the committee or a motion for Resolution 70-2021?
I'll make a motion for Resolution 70-2021.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Then Resolution 71-2021, this is authorizing the mayor to sign a Department of Transportation grant application. This is for resurfacing Little Brook Road from the intersection of Woodland to Slyker Road. It's in the amount of, that's 1.3 miles, in the amount of $1 million total for this grant application. I think this was discussed at a prior meeting, but this now would formalize the signature for the application. Any discussion from the committee? Or a motion to approve Resolution 71-2021?
Make a motion to approve Resolution 71-2021.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Then Resolution 72-2021, awarding a contract for rock salt. This would have us, Lebanon Township, join the Hunterdon County Co-op, where we would purchase rock salt from a non-binding anticipation of purchasing 2,000 tons of rock salt from Morton Salt Company at a price of $48.51 per ton. Any discussion on awarding the rock salt contract? or purchase agreement.
So this, we're not purchasing from, what is it, the Morris County Co-op that we used to, is it?
It's through the, this one is through the Hunterdon County. I think even last year we went to Hunterdon County.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't, if I said co-op, I don't think it's a co-op. I think it's a master contract through county bid.
No, you didn't say co-op. I was thinking, oh, did we just go to the county now instead of going for the, because we had some issues.
Yeah, yes, we did.
I think it's the issues. I think it's the pricing, as
yeah.
I understand it.
Yeah.
Warren gets better pricing
all
here.
All coming back to me. Yeah, so I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 71, 2021. 72, 2021 for the awarding the contract for rock salt.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is resolution 73, 2021. This is a so-called chapter 159 resolution. This allows us mid-budget year to recognize revenues and to appropriate those revenues. The revenues that we're talking about here come from the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. I think we discussed this earlier, but it was widely publicized in the news, and I believe in January the federal government approved the American Rescue Plan, which was, I think, over $1 trillion to provide aid for COVID issues across the country. The rules for that came out a few weeks ago, and our CFO looked at the different rules, and in some cases you have to show how you were impacted by COVID or that you have low broadband infrastructure and you can design different programs. In the final rules, there was a situation where they provided us with a formula. That is, the state through the federal government provided us with a spreadsheet of formula. Our CFO put our budget numbers for the last 3 years into this formula, and the state somehow said your revenues without COVID would have been, they call it a counterfactual revenue amount. Then we look at our actual revenues from 2020, and lo and behold, we're $600,000+ below the counterfactual formula that the state gave us, which means we qualify for having had lower revenues versus their formula, which allows us to qualify for something north of $600,000 of the aid provided by the America Rescue Plan Act of 2021. Those revenues come in two tranches. So there's this current year amount, which is actually already in our bank account, and then next year, a year from February, roughly, the additional top-up would come. So there's, according to the CFO's information, there is no obligation for how to use this money, with the one restriction that we can't use it to reduce taxes. So the resolution that we have before us first resolves that we would take into our budget a revenue increase of $318,244. Section 2 then says that we would appropriate that money, because the requirement of Chapter 159 requires us to have it in and to put it someplace. So we appropriate it to a new line item in our budget that's going to be called Public and Private Programs Offset by Revenues from the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. If we have expenses during the year, for example, we're talking about improving the airflow in the basement, if that falls under a category that's COVID-related, we could charge that to this account. If we discover other COVID-related expenses, we could charge it to this account. Otherwise, eventually this will flow into surplus, come into general revenues to the township. So that's what Resolution 73, 2021 is, a Chapter 159, follows Chapter 159, allowing us to take these revenues into our budget and appropriate them as I just described. Any discussion, comments, questions from the committee? Or is there a motion to approve Resolution 73, 2021?
I'll make the motion to approve Resolution 73, 2021.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. On to old business. Ms. Kohler requested municipal office doors on the agenda.
Only because my phone came up with a picture, a Google picture saying memories from 3 years ago, and it was the front doors that I took
the
a
garage
picture.
Floor?
And I just didn't realize how much time had gone by. And then I remember the last where we left off was probably like 7 months ago, that the vendor had made a mistake and admitted that we would now get a discount. And then I hadn't heard anything after that. So
the vendor did restructure the order. They're keeping to the price. It was actually supposed that, well, for the public, these are the two doors in front of the meeting room here and the door at the reception, including side lights. So two modules to replace those two doors. The doors are at the end of their useful life. There's some rotting of frames and things. Nothing tremendously urgent. You know, they're not closed in with plywood. More than 2 years ago, I'll give the little quick background. More than 2 years ago, we went to a state contract, which then doesn't require bidding and the like, and they came back with a $60,000 proposal to replace those two doors. And we thought that just felt, from our collective experience, that felt like a lot of money for two doors, and we didn't understand where that was coming from. So we, instead of going with the state contract, we went to individual vendors, Optike Lumber representing Anderson, their commercial door group, and then we got a contract proposed. Well, we have a contract from an installer. That's 2 years old. That may change when the time comes. That's roughly $10,000, depending on lumber costs and everything else. We'll find out what that is. But the door contract, roughly $20,000, including the new 15% discount that they gave us a year or so ago. That contract went in. It turns out Anderson had acquired that business not too far before, and these are totally custom commercial doors. The order somehow got botched in relocating their plants as they made that acquisition. Then we hit things like during the last administration, they were putting tariffs on things, and some of the door hardware was coming from Switzerland, and it got stuck in, you know, tariff-related issues. So after enough time went by, we agreed with the vendor, we still want the doors, and with Warren Gabriel, we all agreed, we want the doors, but they had gotten so badly worked in the factory that they said, let's pull the plug on that. Anderson offered to scrap those doors. We're going to start over. They started over. They were supposed to have been delivered mid-July, and they now have told us that there are a couple of pieces of extruded frame metal that's inside the doors, that's what they're waiting on. It's week to week now. That's normal in the construction industry. So that's the long answer. The short answer is the vendor, the supplier is holding to the price. I don't know if we can expect the contractor who's going to install them to hold the price, but there's no update on that yet.
Good.
No point in asking him until we have him in hand.
That's the point.
Yeah,
that's the point.
That's right.
We haven't been following up. I mean, we've been in touch, but
I'm sure COVID made it worse.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, now we're in the COVID delays.
Yeah. So that's, thank you.
Okay. So that takes us to the sign ordinance planning board feedback. We had some already, but they've indicated. Let me just preface this to say the sign ordinance, when that was introduced, I think two meetings ago, the public hearing was set for August 18th. The ordinance has been published. The ordinance that was introduced has been published. So tonight there's no voting. This is purely sort of an educational discussion. We're going to hear the feedback and continue to prepare ourselves, prepare the public. But the action, if there is any, will be taken August 18th when this is up for the public hearing.
It started, I think you mentioned it last time, it started when I was mayor. Dick Cushing was our attorney at the time, and the ordinance was explained to us that it was defective and that it was unenforceable. So we basically at that point had a motion to basically nullify the action of it and basically have the zoning officer not enforce anything about it. I think then there was another year we did that at the beginning of the year, somewhere in the middle of the year we remembered it and it came up, said basically did the same thing. This year we actually haven't done anything to basically not enforce it or say we're not enforcing it. I think we're just not doing anything with it in any general thing. So this ordinance or something of its nature, we have to do something to at least get it so it's not defective. and we're not in a condition that we're going to be sued by some, you know, I don't want to insult you out there, Matt, but some random lawyer that just wants to find a town that has a bad ordinance, and because we've had a couple of those. So really it's meant to correct a problem that happened 3-4 years ago that was brought to us, and we just haven't had the opportunity because we also, it's trying to find a window in time when we're feeling like we're after an election cycle and we're not picking on an election cycle scenario. This is a window to do it before another election cycle is the way I view it. But
since we're giving a little background before we get the planning board input, let me just also follow up on Mark then to point out that the ordinance that has been written was prepared by the attorney based on reviews of First Amendment's litigation that's gone on in the state. We've all heard in the last couple of weeks there was a case that went through the courts because somebody wanted to put profane language on a political sign, and near a school, I believe it is even, and the township said, no, you can't put that language on your front lawn. The ACLU stepped in, and the town said, we're not going to fight a First Amendment case. They backed off. So this First Amendment political speech has been heavily litigated. The attorney tells us he believes this is the best, the current state of the art for what the court will allow or not allow. So things like 50 square feet of signage on any one property, 32 square feet for any single sign. What that allows us to do is say you can't put a 20 by 30 foot billboard on your front lawn, and the courts have agreed. Yeah, that's out of hand. But you also can't say maximum sign is 2 feet by 1 foot, because the courts will say, no, you get to speak a lot more loudly than that. So that's where this came from. What can we do? What do we believe, based on our legal advice, we can do to have some controls? Because as Mark said, right now, even though we have an ordinance on the books, it's not defensible, and in fact, we've taken action to not enforce it. So anything we do puts in some controls. Without doing anything, we have no controls on political speech. And I'll ask the attorney, do you want to highlight any further background before we get the point?
I could just say that when we talk about the enforceability or the challenge, the issue, the primary defect that we faced that has come up in other towns is something that has been, quite frankly, custom and ordinary in just about every town in New Jersey for, you know, 50 or 100 years, which was the 30-day or 28-day requirement or limitation. And it seemed like every local municipality, everybody knew, tomorrow's sign day. You know, you'd have sign committee, and the election signs would appear overnight like a snowstorm. And that's the most contested point by primarily the ACLU, which is, you know, they're saying is that political speech doesn't have a 30-day limit. And so the most difficult part about our existing ordinance, which is still in place, Cunningham Law correctly stated, you know, on a year-by-year basis, we have discussed not enforcing it, but as a technicality, it's, quote, still on the books. And the issue is that, again, that when challenged, the courts say your right to endorse or espouse a candidate or even a political position in August is the same as it is the third day of October. And that's the most difficult ground. That's the ground we really need to focus in on. That was the primary motivation when I went back and looked at things that predated even my involvement. That was the primary issue that Committeeman Lyle cites that dates back to when he was mayor. So you know, and there is no perfect sample. Like in some of these issues that we see that it becomes statewide issues, there becomes a template or there becomes a best practice. This is an attempt to have some limited role in the oversight of a regulation of the most protected form of speech. And, you know, quite frankly, we are proposing to have even a little bit more quote speech because of our issue with regard to municipal property. It's actually a little bit broader than some other towns have successfully negotiated, litigated. It's kind of a mix. It's kind of the ACLU comes in and challenges you and says, we will agree to this or we won't challenge that, that kind of thing. So there's and Mayor had indicated, and it's a growing, it's almost a daily issue for zoning officers and enforcement throughout the state. Issues are, is it a sign, is it a flag, is it decorative, is it speech, is it commercial speech, is it, you know, is it political speech, and you know, is it profane? If it is profane, can we regulate it? So we really aren't taking, quite frankly, the net result is seemingly, quite frankly, less regulation if you net this thing out from where we are to that, what's on the books now to what we're proposing. So that's really the genesis of it and the intent of it, if that's, for lack of a better word.
Any other discussion, or would you like to?
Well, there are a lot of questions posed at the planning board. Maybe we can answer some of them. I mean, one of the big things that came up was what would be the minimum to make the existing ordinance legal or get us out of problem with ACLU?
Yeah, let me preface it by saying I'm not going to represent that anything would ever be fully acceptable to them other than literally no restriction. You know, kind of live and let live, but you know, they have in other cases accepted some reasonable. Again, I would say that the zero in would be section D1, the first paragraph where it says signs containing political advertising may be erected not more than 4 weeks prior to election. That's if you want to redline a sentence and zero in on an issue. I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to speak in absolutes, but if you want a number one, that's it. And again, you know, somebody say, if I want to espouse a candidate for the 2024 presidential election, that's my right. And who are you, local government, to tell me I can't? And again, if something is attached to a flagpole and hangs over my barn, what's the difference between that and a lawn sign? But that, to answer your question, committeeman, that I would say that those eight or nine words, whatever it was, that would be where I would start.
As the minimum, to
yeah, I don't think the 4 week will eventually, either if we enforce it or they come across it, that will be challenged. The 4 week limitation, yes.
Okay. That was one issue. Was the other question was about banners. Does this affect banners?
Again, that's, you know, what a thing is comes down to you know, an enforcement issue and an interpretation issue. And I you know, again, banners or signs or flags, if it's espousing political speech, I would say that it would be entitled to the most protection as opposed to, you know, a yard sale sign or something like that. But, you know, I'm not exactly sure the factual scenario you're talking about and, like, what would connote a banner versus a sign. But quite frankly, again, if it's a banner that's espousing a political position or a political candidate, that it would be afforded the most protection under the law. And would be the most subject to challenge if we were to enforce it on a content or seemingly content based or time frame based scenario. So,
can I offer a related topic? Because this has now been going on a couple of weeks, and I've spent some time talking to our zoning officer because he's the one on the ground enforcing it. It's not a direct answer to banner, but I asked him sort of the related question. What's the regulation of a banner where one corner is loose and it's flopping around? Can we say, you know, you have to maintain your sign? It goes, and it goes to faded signs. It goes. That was the, you know, the scope of my question. And he said, public safety, in his understanding, can be a higher cause than the free speech. So, if you are 2 feet off the road and it's flopping around and it looks like it's going to hit traffic. Or if you put up a sign and it's leaning toward the road and it's a danger, he'll go through and say, no, you have to take that down. If it's 15 feet back on somebody's front lawn and it's flopping around, if they want a flopping sign, we don't have any regulation that can stop that. Or if somebody has a terribly sun-faded sign, he doesn't have any regulation that allows him to say, you know, this looks bad, it's chipping paint, and take it down. We don't have a property.
Quite frankly, the with regard to political speech, the term temporary political sign is becoming outdated, because in essence, what all these developments are is a perpetual right to make that. And again, we're not differently situated than almost every town in the state, which was everybody kind of agreed, hey, let's have a period of time where we're all going to make these statements with signs and banners and everything else, and there's going to come a time when that ends, and we're going to move on to the business of running the town or the country. And as a First Amendment matter, that's no longer tenable as far as an enforcement or regulation position. You know, and every case that's litigated, not every case, the majority of cases that are litigated or challenged, either from a challenge to the ordinance itself or a criminal, quasi-criminal enforcement proceeding, the vast majority of them land in favor of protecting the speech, unless it's been cited that there's some obstruction or, you know, obviously it's in a site triangle, things like that. There's reasonable regulation that can occur.
So given that, what I'm hearing is that political speech cannot be silenced, and you can have political speech all year round. How does that affect enforcement of any kind of resolution that we put forward?
Well, I think the we're trying to have some reasonable, rational, quantitative review of it or control of it. That again, it is reasonably based, but still allows people to get their point across.
But we don't know that is in fact true with this resolution.
Well, again, I can't say, you know, anything we pass can be challenged. Sure, we try to have an overall perspective that's reasonable, and it's not arbitrary and capricious. You know, if we told everybody our sign could be 1 square foot, we're really de facto, if we told them it had to be 400 feet from the road or whatever, it would be struck. You know, to review it on balance and review it against other ordinances for reasonableness. And quite frankly, again, the red light or the bullseye is the 30-day limit, and that draws immediate challenge. That draws even... That has drawn, in certain instances, even preemptive challenge, where it's not, you know, where it could be August and nobody's even clamoring to put up signs. They challenge it just because, similar to the situation we went on with peddlers, where it was, you know, people in the law, as the committee in law said, you know, there's a group of lawyers that zone in on one particular thing and find it, and whenever they find it, they run the playbook. Which again, of course, always costs us money and exposure and whatnot. So, you know, again, I can't speak with absolute certainty that the only non-challengeable is if we have no regulation of it. The problem there then becomes when we get a resident who comes in who says, "My next door neighbor did X, Y, and Z." And, you know, it's got lights and sirens on it, and it's, you know, it's 50. And the guy says, "Look, yeah, I got 20 acres. It's a 200 square foot billboard, but it's political speech." So, you know, there's a balancing act required to try to balance these things, and, you know, not de facto limit somebody's speech to the point where they feel aggrieved. and need to challenge it, where we provide. That's why, like I said, the unique thing that we do is to allow it on public property. And I say public, actual, not just right-of-ways, but actual public property, because many towns, most towns do not. But I guess that's been a practice and an accepted one, and sort of a public forum, kind of like a bulletin board almost, like a big outdoor bulletin board. So
that was actually one of the other concerns of the planning board. They did not want signs on any township property. That's the municipal buildings, schools, library, and the like.
Well,
that's just a statement from the...
No, I understand. And again, that's a fairly uniform is the wrong word, but that's a fairly widespread regulation. And again, so we definitely have more leeway in regulating in that arena. It's my understanding, and having, you know, being here every 2 weeks, that there is a historical practice of allowing it in certain locations, and there's been sort of it's the way we do business. There's a lot of things in every town that's like, well, this is acceptable, and it's kind of, and everybody sort of, it self-regulates, everybody kind of plays within a certain boundary, and it serves a public purpose. But again, that is an area where I believe, again, the review shows that our approach, our present or under consideration approach, would actually be more permissible than most towns. It's a unique area where we do have more ability to regulate, for obvious reasons, because public property, it can lend in certain circumstances. Well, if I see it on public, maybe it means more. But again, the other side of that is, if we do allow it, which is under consideration, it's all for it's for everyone. You know, whether that person, whatever that group or person or candidate's opinions or ideas are irrelevant. If we allow it, it's allowed, and you know, regardless of who the candidate or candidates are.
And if I can clarify two things. So, yes, the zoning officer before this came said the township, in his understanding, he predates me, was that elections are considered a public good, a public purpose, a public cause, and so the Lebanon Township has always allowed it on public property. It's always remained near the roads of public property. So as we thought through what are we opening ourselves up to, this has to be near the public roads on public property. So you couldn't line the whole walking trail of Memorial Park with political signs. It has to be near the public roads. It also limits how close it can be, following the electioneering rules, to public buildings. So you can't put it right in front of a municipal building. The electioneering laws say 100 feet away from the polling place. So we went with 100 feet away from buildings. The other point I wanted to clarify, though, this is where the term temporary political sign is actually meaningful, because we're allowing temporary political signs on our public property, but not cause signs. You know, if somebody is lobbying for eat more chicken, that's not allowed all year round on our municipal property.
Well, we had, let me just, don't take offense to this. When you were coming in, they had the administrator kerfuffle, and there were I saw a sign there, come to the meeting, there's for the administrator, and I said, what's that doing out there? And I was told it's allowed.
And then I walked in one day and I saw that exact same sign on our bulletin board inside the reception area. And I asked, well, what's the policy? Nobody knew how it got there. We don't have a policy. The challenge there is, once that sign is up, we're not going to take it down.
But I heard it was legally allowed. So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
It was never legally allowed. It was by practice of the township. That was never in an ordinance that you could be on. But the zoning officer had been guided to say, the committee's will is to let public discourse happen on public property.
But to circle back to Committeeman Abakowski's point, is just as a general observation, just so we're all on the same page, is, you know, our rights, our abilities to regulate that speech on our property are basically absolute. And again, I'm not speaking to what has been our, I don't know, long time practice. And but we can absolutely, that is one where we have more leeway and we can curtail it. Whether you're talking a complete prohibition or more significant regulation, more narrow areas, whatever that may be, that is not only permissible but I believe completely defensible. Because if we had the right to ban it in its outright, to allow it in a limited fashion is granting a greater right than is already defensible, the absence of it.
All that being said, the question then comes up is the enforcement element. As we start putting rules in here that may be, complex to some or difficult to recognize, somebody's going to have to enforce this. I know it's the zoning officer, but is he going to spend all of his time running around looking at signs and deciding whether it's 100 feet away or not? Or I would think the zoning officer's got more important things to do.
Well, I think it's a valid point across the board. Let's not limit it to this, but we adopt something, we adopt it for it to be enforced. If we don't intend for it to be enforced, we shouldn't adopt it. And we are then placing, whether it's zoning, code enforcement, whatever it is, police. If we take the time, or it's the fair consideration of this governing body that it's going to be on the books. Can't say, hey, we just passed this, it's on the books. By the way, don't. That's not the way it works. We either change it or we don't adopt it, because you're right. We deal constantly with in a not too far enforcement issues, and code enforcement similar issues arise where it's neighbor versus neighbor, and one man's trash, another man's treasure, and you're living next to something. People have different views on whether it's landscaping or car collecting, all kinds of things. And you're right. If we're going to say, you must maintain X, Y, and Z, and it's on the books, the intent should be, at least when we enact it, that it will be not only enforceable, but it will be enforced, and that we take the steps necessary to have adequate assets available to enforce it, whether it's additional staffing or whether there's enough staffing. But it's a more visible issue. People have become more, it's created more conflict between neighbors, so it generates complaints. And then, in years gone by, if the sign was up for 30 days, you kind of all, everybody waved, you said hello, you got in and out of the car, and 31 days later, everybody got on with their business. But now, there's constantly reported cases of I don't like what my neighbor put up. In many directions. It's not unique to party or affiliation or anything. And again, the profanity is a whole nother. The use of profanity in political speech, it has turned the temperature up even higher.
By the way, the zoning officer does enforce our general sign ordinance. Part of his time is spent driving the township, and if he sees commercial signs on public property or if he sees issues with signs, that's part of his list of things that he enforces. I agree, it could get out of control, but now we don't ask him to have a grid of the township and tell us which day, has he covered all 90 square miles on some systematic way. But if somebody highlights an area that he needs to go check, he checks that, and he does random through the areas where there are issues, he does that enforcement.
Well, I think those are the main issues that came up at the planning board. Do you think of any others?
I did a good job. That's
really it.
So the zoning officer would be triggered by a resident making a complaint.
He could be. He could also be triggered by driving through the town and saying, that's obviously bigger than 32 square feet. But I don't know that he would get out of his car to measure someone's front lawn unless there were a complaint, typically.
We've talked about it. But my concern is with a statement, a banner, a flag, temporary political sign that may represent a cause or a purpose to the individual. But a resident says, that's a temporary political sign. But to the person, it's meaningful. Who makes that determination?
Well, I think, again, I think it goes to really, in that instance, when you're talking pro or against any issue, irrelevant what the right. issue is that, in essence, that's why I was saying that the term temporary is really, the mayor corrected me, we are temporarily allowing on municipal property, but, you know, it is evolving in that if I want to espouse
a private residence home.
That's what it's saying, is okay. that basically that right is a 365-day-a-year right. And you know, it is a political sign. It's temporary only in the owner's position in that, you know, I may go out Sunday morning and take it down. It's not a permanently erected sign. It's not like what we have out front. It's not a marquee sign. But that it can be taken down. Quite frankly, it is... The right is a perpetual 365-day-a-year right. If I want to go out and be pro this, anti that, you know, whatever it may be, that from an enforcement and a regulation standpoint, our hands are tied. And any attempt to, you know, the most recent case that the municipality right. took the stand on profanity,
right.
and you know, and the municipal court judge followed right along. Not surprisingly, and everybody said, you know, come on, we're all reasonable. And at the end of the day, it's protected. And in any and attempts to stop people completely stop. You know, it wasn't like move your flag off the road. People can't see around it, or you know, it's 40 feet wide and it's a distraction. It was simply on the content. And it's to ban it is it's mm-hmm. you know it's indefensible at the end of the day. And again, not only is it indefensible, but there's large, well-funded groups that are going to come in and fight that fight on behalf of that resident. And you know we're going to be along for that fight. it's a permanent right, committeeman. It's not. And again, it goes to our 30-day rule also. But again, you want to be pro or against issues, it's America. You want to tell your neighbors. If it bothers them, that's what political speech is. You know, some people agree, some people disagree. And, you know, where this happens, I think you hit the nail on the head, it's mostly complaint-generated. And quite frankly, some of the generation is not so much, again, I can't see around it or my kids are offended. It's I disagree with you, at least when the testimony comes in. And, you know, it's a country built on the right to disagree and have your opinion, and not only to have your opinion, but to espouse it, you know. So that's why, again, that's why we're, in essence, broadening. We are reducing our regulation is what we're really doing. And, again, that's where we are.
So can I paraphrase it maybe a different way? So there's really looking at two different pieces, I'll call it, of land or property. One is private property. One is municipal property. On the private property, there's no regulation of speech, 365 days political speech. However, you can regulate where that sign is in relation to the road, how far away from the road, and you can regulate the size of the sign so that it does not become a nuisance or a hazard to the populace. That's the private side. On the municipal side, we can regulate anything we want because it's municipal properties, and we can decide where the sign goes, when it comes off, what the size is, where it is on the property,
how many you can
put on. All that can be regulated on the municipal side.
Yes, and again, the basis of that is that you could ban it. So if you can ban it, and it's outright. If you can ban it outright, you can certainly place reasonable restrictions on it in both time and quantitative as you've laid it out.
So then, wouldn't a resolution like this have to be kind of bifurcated? One again, for the private property and one for the municipal property.
Well,
however we decide on the municipal property.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to take different, yeah, you could absolutely, again, there's a difference in our leeway there, absolutely.
I'm just
we have more.
I think it's easier to understand. Anybody who might be reading the ordinance, it'll be easier to understand to recognize the difference between what's allowed on private property and what's allowed on municipal property, because you have a much more leeway as a citizen to put whatever you want on your property, as long as, as I say, it's within a prescribed distance from the road and a prescribed physical size.
Yeah, if you, again, you can, the standards can differ, and they can differ wide.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not taking any action tonight.
Right,
we're
just talking.
Additional discussion?
Yeah.
Clarification? If not, we can move on to the next items on the agenda. So that was the end of old business. New business. First item is the shared service agreement with the Lebanon Township School District for special law enforcement officers. For the last number of years, we've been providing two so-called SLEOs, special law enforcement officers, class 3. The terms of the contract are very similar to the contract with the North Hunterdon and Voorhees District. Same compensation, so $69,500 is the amount not to be exceeded per SLEO, reimbursing the township for supplying those. And the motion would be to authorize the mayor to sign the agreement with the Woodland School District that we have in front of us, the Lebanon Township School District. Any discussion? Or motion?
I'll make a motion to authorize the shared service agreement for special law enforcement officers for Lebanon Township School District.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then the other agreement we've had in place with the Lebanon Township School District is a shared service agreement for the township to provide mainly mowing of the lawns and snow removal and other miscellaneous repairs. For which they pay us. Last year they paid us $22,000 even. This year we propose a 2% increase, because that's the increase of our labor costs, and other costs have remained pretty much in line with a 2% increase. So this would, the amount would be $22,440 for a shared service agreement that's paid by the Lebanon Township Board of Education. Any discussion or motion to approve that agreement, this agreement?
I make a motion to approve that agreement.
And authorize the mayor to sign.
And authorize the mayor to sign, yes.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then the next item is, Park Committee asked to be on the agenda.
It's actually Eric. Friends.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Sorry.
Which hat are you wearing today?
Exactly. All right, so
you can just identify yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm Eric Petrick. I live on Boulderfield Road. A few months ago, Drew DePalma and I came before the committee to discuss plans for improvement to the playground and installation of a Gaga pit. And in that meeting, the DPW agreed to help us with removal of some stuff, and you know, Drew and I and the rest of friends are just floored by that. But also, Warren Gabriel and the DPW in general has always been good to us. Friends Memorial Park is entrusted with raising money and a lot of the maintenance at the park there, and getting funds together, getting volunteers together, it could just be, you know, just challenging to say the least. So we thought it would be nice to just, you know, and we felt that we owed them to just kind of recognize them publicly. So we drafted this letter. So I'd just like to read it, and then I'll hand it off to mm-hmm. Mark, who's our liaison. Dear Warren Gabriel and members of the DPW, Friends of Memorial Park thanks you for your assistance with the maintenance of Lebanon Township Memorial Park. Specifically, and more recently, the repairing of the railings around the parking lots, the removal and disposal of outdated and worn playground equipment, and just this week, helping with unloading the new equipment to replace the old. Friends would like to thank you for the countless other things you have done and continue to do to ensure that everyone has a safe and happy place to enjoy themselves here in Lebanon Township. Your hard work does not go unnoticed nor unappreciated. Thank you. Thank you all again, and be well. Sincerely, Eric Petrick, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Thanks. They absolutely deserve that recognition. Anything else from the committee on that topic? With that, I would just like, I don't have a better place to make this. It's not an action item, but there's been a lot of discussion among residents about the chip and seal that's going on 513, on Highway 513. I asked Warren Gabriel his sort of expert opinion on that. There's some people thinking, you know, why is the stone down there so long? Why, you know, are they doing something wrong? My understanding of the expert opinion is that when you put the seal down and then the stone down, you're supposed to leave a two-week curing period for that stone to go down. So the loose stone has to stay there for a little while. Over the years, it's gone from an actual oil-based seal to a water-based seal, and apparently the state of the art, and apparently this contractor, is that they pre-coat the stones that are going down. So the stones are stickier, obviously, to stick to the road. But that also means they stick to tires and kick up more. So my understanding is there's nothing wrong that's being done by the contractor or the county. It's a county road. It's not our contract. Maybe there could be more signage slowing people down, that sort of thing. But
you can't go fast.
It just seems like it should be a road that you pave.
Yeah.
Well, apparently this is to extend the time between paving. The road starts to crumble. This gets another number of years into the life of the road without repaving.
It's a high-speed road.
Yeah.
I hear about it every day because my secretary drives it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And her husband.
There is social media discussion that apparently if you have a car that sustained damage, you can call the county engineering office, and if you have proof of your insurance deductible and the like, that's what I would urge people to pursue. But anyway, that's the just one kind of new business update. Unless the committee has anything else, we would be off to presentation of vouchers.
I have one for the payment to the county of Hunterdon Open Space. It's for our third quarter open space. It's $71,274.56. That's it.
I have one here for Warren Materials for asphalt for $1,482.43. I have another one for Warren Materials also for asphalt for $1,116.65. Patriotic Office Cleaning, which includes the police department, library, and municipal building, for the month of June, $1,745. And the last one I have is for Griffin Allied Trucking, which is diesel fuel for your DPW, $2,726.48.
The township has two different open space debt notes that are outstanding, so this is for our payment for one of them. First, $28,645.40, and for the second note, $4,923.40. The second is to Lebanon Township from Lebanon Township General Capital. This is the repayment of the bond anticipation notes that were discussed at the last meeting, in total $480,735.39. Then New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan for the August premiums, total of $34,017.56. County of Hunterdon, third quarter county tax that we pay to them, $717,222.21. Harry Haushalter, who is our tax appraisal attorney, a tax assessor attorney, $3,890.50. and JCP&L master account for the month of June, $1,594.30.
I have one voucher, third quarter library tax at the Hunterdon County Library, $71,699.36.
None that apply.
So the total voucher list is $1,434,202.27. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And correspondence, one item.
The only thing I can add to that is I was down, I had Warren go down to the, I asked Warren to go down to the museum. Gina had reached out to me and had some concerns about the walk that leads from the rear parking down to the annex building. And I reviewed it with Warren, and Warren went down there and he highlighted in paint where he thinks we can increase the stone walkway. And after he had been done, I went and visited with Gina on Saturday, and she was in agreement to the areas that Warren suggested. We're just doing a few little changes. We're adding a little more stone to the left. It was a nice meeting with Gina, and I want to remind everyone that she has invited the committee on August 25th and 27th, I believe the date.
26th. Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, to come down and open house at the museum, and I think you all should take up the offer.
Thank you very much. That was the only correspondence. Now we open to public comment for any comment anyone would like to make. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
Make a motion to open public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment, please come to the microphone, state your name and the road you live on.
Ron Mikowski, Rocky Run Road.
My only question is, what happened to the front of the DPW building? Over top one of the overhead doors, you can see it's pushed in.
I haven't heard a report or anything.
Okay.
I'll find out.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's hope the floor's not damaged.
Oh, my God. I never thought about that.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. We will have an executive session, Resolution 74-2021, two topics. One is related to the DPW mechanics position, where we do not expect action, and the second is a discussion of masking policy requirements where there could be potential action. Is there a motion to go into executive session with Resolution 74-2021?
I'll make a motion to go into executive session with Resolution 74-2021.
No, shut it down.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'd like to have here.
Thank you very much.
My email from here.
Good night.
Good night.
Can I
have a good night?
Warren here.